Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
We're glad to have you back. Thank you, audience, for tuning in again today and for listening to this podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Luca Scarallo. Dr. Scarallo is a rising star in the constellation of experts in inflammatory bowel disease. Dr. Scarallo, may I call you Luca?
Yeah, of course, okay.
Well, I'm tempted to call him simply Luca, as he was born in 1993, which makes him impossibly young. He comes from Benevento. Benevento is east and south of Naples. And that city, his birthplace, has a history as impossibly long as Luca is impossibly young. It flourished under the Roman Republican Empire, was the southern capital of the German Longbeards, the Longobardi, who ruled much of Italy 1,500 years ago, and then went into the pocket of the papacy for almost 1,000 years until the creation of the Italian state in 1860. Somebody asked me yesterday, Luca, what were my origins, where I came from, and I have no history whatsoever. So, you and Benevento, whew. At any rate, perhaps in flight from the weight of all this history, you went from the historical frying pan into two successive history-laden fires, to Milano for medical education and to Firenze for specialty training. And that's where you work now, attending children with gastrointestinal disease after having spent a year away from Florence at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto, which, compared to all the other places he's lived, is refreshingly history-poor. Your research interests, if I have it right, center on diet and inflammatory bowel disease. But today, you're going to be talking to us about a relatively new tool, the use of sonography to assess the inflamed bowel. And when you click on the cover note for this podcast, listeners, you'll find some references that he thinks are important to us. As you listen, ask yourselves these questions, please. How do you use intestinal ultrasound in your daily practice? Has the introduction of intestinal ultrasound into investigation and diagnosis changed your practice? And can you imagine using it more extensively in the care of patients with inflammatory bowel diseases? Luca, have I presented you adequately?
Yeah, perfectly. I would say perfectly.
Well, then it's over to you to tell us about ultrasound.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you for your kind invitation and for this really accurate review of the history of my hometown. So bowel ultrasound scan has very recently emerged as a tool to monitor children with, I would say, gastrointestinal condition, but we are mainly focusing on inflammation. And I would say that within this tool, Italy has a really good story, parallel for the one you told about my hometown, because ultrasound has been used by gastroenterologists by following adult patients with IBD since many, many years in Italy. They were, I think, among the pioneers of this technique in Europe, but also in the world. And I have to say that in pediatric gastroenterology, we probably arrived a bit late, but then we are recovering. Because bowel ultrasound is a really powerful tool. It is, as you know, a non-invasive tool, relatively not expensive. It doesn't have much cost to perform an exam. And for children, it's also a non-invasive technique, which is really important for our patients, for this subset of patients that we follow up. And these things make it also bowel ultrasound scan repeatable. So we can use it anytime from diagnosis to follow up at basically every scheduled or unscheduled visit to assess, to check if you are doing right with these patients, if any of the complaints that they report are actually objective, are signs of objective inflammation or not, and also to postpone or to avoid more invasive examinations in these children, especially those with inflammatory bowel disease, such as endoscopy or, as I said, colonoscopy especially.
Well, you've got an awful lot of ways of looking at the bell, and some of them are still, speaking as a histologist, thank God, the gold standard, which is to say, biopsy. And we've heard another time in this podcast series from somebody who says that magnetic resonance imaging has a lot to offer over and above ultrasound. Do you see these techniques as complementary or as one replacing the other?
It's a really good question. We have to be honest. There are several data that confirm that Bauer ultrasound scan has a really comparable accuracy to detect inflammation when compared to magnetic resonance enterography. But compared to the other technique, Bauer ultrasound scan is quicker, cheaper, and also brings much less discomfort to the patient. The drawback is that, and this is especially for patients with Crohn's disease, Bauer ultrasound scan has a slightly lower accuracy to detect inflammation in the upper gastrointestinal tract. I would say everything proximal to the terminal ileum is less accurate than the first technique. So I see them complementary at diagnosis for sure. So magnetic resonance enterography has to be performed to give you an overall panoramic of the whole small bowel. But since bowel ultrasound scan is so accurate to detect inflammation, it can be used during follow-up. So you need an exam at diagnosis, and then you can use it to follow up these patients.
In a patient without suspicion of stricture or partial obstruction, how does capsule endoscopy compare in certainly less invasive than, is it less invasive? I don't think so. It's the same degree of invasiveness, but maybe it offers advantages, particularly in what you were talking about in the small bowel north of the terminal ileum. And how does that compare in expense, and how does that compare in sensitivity, let's say?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Probably, actually there are some paper out on this topic. Capsule endoscopy compared, there's a paper from an Italian group where capsule endoscopy has been used with combined with the bowel ultrasound, and this has shown that capsule endoscopy has a really high sensitivity in detecting inflammation for small bowel. The drawback is that capsule endoscopy doesn't give you any extra mucosal inflammation for the proximal small bowel.
No. Really, no?
No, actually it doesn't. So capsule endoscopy is very sensitive in detecting mucosal lesion, but otherwise it doesn't give you any panoramic of what is happening outside the lumen. I think that in patients where you suspect a mild form of the disease, this is a reasonable exam. Usable test to perform also at diagnosis, but in other cases probably magnetic resonance enterography gives you a more panoramic vision of the small bowel in terms of extramural disease. Are there any complications? Are there any strictures? Are there any fistulas or other complications that capsule misses every time? And the magnetic resonance scintigraphy does this in a comparable way to bowel ultrasound scan for terminal ileum for sure, but probably does it in a more accurate way for small bowel proximal to terminal ileum. So I would say that these three techniques are really complementary in these patients.
Well, there are going to be those patients in whom you really can't conveniently use magnetic resonance imaging. Let's say that I'm a parent and I have, we'll call him in honor of the Pope, Leo. And little Leo is only 2 years old. And is he going to have a general anesthetic for magnetic resonance imaging? And for endoscopy for both of those? He's just so little. Can't you do something else? Can you get along with just the capsule endoscopy?
Well, I would say to the parents of the little Leo that at least at diagnosis we need endoscopy, but that for sure for, you know, studying the small bowel, if the suspect, clinical suspect is of Crohn's disease and the endoscopy confirms it, then we could absolutely use bowel ultrasound scan. And if there is a suspect of, I would say, more proximal disease, consider also capsule endoscopy.
Oh, okay, I feel better now. Thank you. So how do you use intestinal ultrasound in your daily practice outside inflammatory bowel disease?
Okay, so bowel, in my practice, we tend to use a bowel ultrasound scan a lot. We are gastroenterology center, tertiary center, but we get patients referred from primary care physicians, so from basically every part of the region, so not only for inflammatory bowel disease. And I think that bowel ultrasound scan is a useful tool, non-invasive, not expensive, and sometimes to try to use it as a screening for mm-hmm. patients who present with a clinical suspicion, at least clinical suspicion of inflammatory bowel disease. They can help you to know what to do, but also sometimes you can use it to reassure the parents, to tell them that, you know, so far there are no signs of active inflammation, so it's possible to think about other possible causes of, for example, symptoms mimicking inflammatory bowel diseases such as abdominal pain.
Right. Well, I've got little Leo in his carrier, and we're shaking hands. And you're saying, when do you want me to come back for another ultrasound for Leo?
Well, what we do in our practice, actually, is that we have, a sonographer in our outpatient clinic. So we basically offer an examination when the patients come for follow-up. So if the patient comes for a follow-up, especially in the first phases when we are using an induction therapy and we want to check whether this is working or not, and we have signs of inflammation at the previous bowel ultrasound scan, we tend to offer it to monitor even probably more closely, more tightly in first phases, and then maybe less less in the subsequent phases.
And how would you have monitored these patients, particularly during induction, before ultrasound became available to you?
Well, this is a very good question. Before ultrasound, we would have had only, clinical activity. So seeing whether the patient had gone into clinical remission. But for example, for Crohn's disease, we know that this is not enough, and this is not to reflect enough accurately the inflammation of the bowel. And otherwise, I would have had a blood test to check for inflammatory markers. Again, there's a subset of patients with only mild elevation of these markers, or where they come easily into normal range, but there's still inflammation. Again, there's not a perfect reflection of the intestinal inflammation, and otherwise I would have had probably fecal calprotectin. Again, this is more, for sure, more sensitive than the previous things I've mentioned. But again, alone, I think bowel ultrasound scan can offer further, benefits to when added to fecal calprotectin. It's a really powerful tool combined with such tests to monitor very tightly inflammation and to reflect very well the endoscopic inflammation, so the presence of mucosal lesions or whatever.
One hopes that the use of this technique will produce concrete, measurable, and definite results in terms of better disease control and, over the longer term, a more favorable prognosis. Has bowel ultrasound in pediatrics been in use long enough for data of that sort to have accumulated for you to be able to say, since we've introduced bowel ultrasound, we're getting these kids definitely under better control, and their growth curves are going back up to the standard a heck of a lot faster, and hey, it's 10 years out, and they're doing a lot better than age-matched controls from 20 years ago?
That's a really good question. Actually, I don't think we have such data for pediatrics. We know that this has happened in adults, where bowel ultrasound scan at the end of induction with biologics, for example, has been shown to predict long-term response. And this has been shown both in Crohn, both in a disease where bowel ultrasound scan had been used even more recently, probably, which is ulcerative colitis. Also in ulcerative colitis, it has been shown to accurately predict, when used at the end of the induction therapy, the long-term response. For example, endoscopic remission at 1 year, the need of surgery over time, and etc.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to speculate, I'm going to ask you to speculate twice. The first one is speculation on what the reasons were why so useful a tool, so easily applied a tool, lagged substantially behind the introduction of that tool into adult practice. What was holding pediatric gastroenterologists back?
Well, that's a very, very good question, because if you think about ultrasound, you have a non-invasive technique, which in pediatrics is probably even more important than in adult care. I think that what probably made pediatrics lagging was the number of patients followed at each center, which was less in the back, I would say, 20 years ago. But now we know that incidence of such conditions in pediatrics have dramatically risen, especially in countries where the prevalence was low previously. And so now we are facing with a lot of patients. We also have more therapies to use, and we have to choose the right therapy for the right patient. And this has been, where bowel ultrasound scan has been introduced, I think, in pediatrics.
So whatever the etiology of this new wave of inflammatory bowel disease, and you can speculate about use of antibiotics, you can speculate about introduction of ultra-processed foods, but whatever the etiology may be, you're seeing more such patients, and the need for more accurate assessment and more accurate classification to permit more patient-tailored therapy has become pressing and has required, really, introduction of ultrasound, whether or not pediatric gastroenterologists wanted to do it. You say you have a technician who does it for you, which, of course, is useful, is a practical way of handling things. But do you ever just get the goop in one hand and the transducer in the other and go into the exam room?
Oh, no, sorry. In my practice, I am doing the ultrasound. Oh,
okay.
Oh no. I don't
I
have
thought
a...
about the clinic. You mentioned that the way...
I'm sorry. No. I am doing the ultrasound by myself. So I'm using really as a point of care test, because what was happening in the previous years that we were asking radiologists to do the exam, and then the exam came back. So almost like a fecal calprotectin, we sent the sample out.
You're
and
not
then
really
we got the
all
results.
That involved, are you?
Yeah, exactly. But with bowel ultrasound scan, you have the patient there. So you look at the bowel, you see there is inflammation, and then you can say, okay, there's something else to do. We need to change. We need to assess better. So it's really a really powerful tool.
You've got the teaching screen up there. You can say, Giancarlo, I know you don't want to take your medication, but you see this? You see that up there? That's exactly where you're getting into trouble and why you have to take your medication.
Exactly, yes. And this has happened really more times than one could think.
Mm. Last speculation. You ask us, can you imagine using intestinal ultrasound more extensively in the care of patients with inflammatory bowel disease? How do you manage? How do you intend to expand its use again in your own practice?
I really was thinking about the new drugs which are coming in a pipeline for pediatric IBD. As we know, only anti-TNFs are approved for children and adolescents under the 18 years of age. And then we have lots of phase 3 trials of new drugs which are already approved in adults and are now becoming used in children, for all of them. exam off-label, and these registrative trials have a very rigid scheme where endoscopy is required at every before enrollment, and then after induction, and then after 1 year. So it's a lot of endoscopies for children and for family, and to, you know, we can probably get very close results with a combination of ultrasound and, I was mentioning before, fecal calprotectin. So that's my way of thinking of a more extensive use of bowel ultrasound scan in the care of patients with IBD.
Right. So, look how we've run out of time.
Oh, already?
Already, exactly. And I have to ask you, what song would you like to contribute to the Espigan podcast favorite songs list that anybody can call up on Spotify?
Oh, I will contribute with a song I really love. It's from Lucio Dalla, and the name is Caruso.
Thank you. And thank you for coming by today.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation, for this nice chat.